Here's another idea. Rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
Isn't that
what's vodka? I think vodka would probably do it too.
When in doubt, hit the liquor store and get some rot gut. Get the jug.
Yeah.
The jug size of rot gut, like vodka.
Yeah, you can't find hand sanitizer. We have solved the world's problems just with this. Et voila, vodka.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
We might as well just go rogue with this because it's so it's so crazy right now in the world. Today is today is actually St. Patrick's Day. Have you heard anything about St. Patrick's Day anywhere?
Who is St. Patrick?
Exactly. What? Because there's so much going on in the world.
Aaron
today.
Gobrales. What? I don't. Yeah, and this is a special episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. That's why we're really rogue, because we decided to jump on the COVID-19.
How come it's called coronavirus instead of it's COVID-19?
I don't know what that means. I don't know.
I was thinking about that earlier today. Like,
what does that mean?
Correlation?
Anyway, I hear COVID. I think covert. Like, let's not be covert about COVID. That's what we're talking about today. Oh, maybe that's the title. I needed a title for the show. So, this is March 17th. This is posting on March 19th, which, by the way, is St. Joseph's Day for those Italians out there. I know that is like so random trivia information. But growing up, St. Joseph's Day was a big deal to me because you got a St. Joseph's table. And that's a whole other story. Anyway, I digress. We decided to do a special episode to talk about this ridiculous coronavirus. So we're just going to ramble about it. Some people might not agree with things that we say. I have a feeling that Rachel and I are very much in alignment on things because we see each other's posts on Facebook and we are like twins. But this is also meant to talk about what are some things that you could be doing during this time that, you know, might be a little against the status quo, because here's the reality. Our status quo in general is done right now because of this thing.
Yeah.
You can't have status quo.
It's uncharted territory that no one has any clue at all. I was just talking to Mike Fitzpatrick and his podcast partner, Dan Brown, just did an episode about this COVID virus also. And he's like, people think I'm a kind of a smart dude, but I have zero reference about any of this going on. And I said, nobody does. Nobody's ever seen this. And I asked Felix, my husband, yesterday, because I wasn't living in the country during 9/11. I was living in Canada at the time. And I said, was it this much panic when airplanes flew into buildings? And he's like, you know, I don't think so. And I'm like, okay, let me get this straight. Now, I'm not diminishing the apparent severity of this coronavirus, but I am yet to find, you know, anybody vomiting until their eyes bleed out of their skull or anything. I know that it has, the best I've come up with at this point from seeing people's experience is that it's, you know, fever, coughing, headache, and it's killing some people. But I'm pretty sure if you go and look at the actual numbers of like flu, pneumonia, cancer, suicide, like these things are killing people faster than this virus. So I don't understand. I respect people's fear, but I don't understand what created this panic.
The media?
It's so crazy. It's like a Twilight Zone episode that's actually happening. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like a Twilight Zone. Like nothing feels normal and it feels surreal, and maybe some of us are just who knows, maybe the world is ending and we don't even know it.
Well, and this is the thing that I keep trying to come back to. I posted this morning talking about, and I want to vet out that I typed this post up last night, and I thought about it overnight because I'm like, I'm about to throw a grenade into the world. Let's think this over if you want to do this, because I don't like to talk politics. I don't want to get into politics. I don't blame the government for this. I don't blame anything. I worry for the little guys. The little guys are the ones, the people, my personal friends that were laid off of Legends in Concert last night. you know, they're corporate, they had to make the decision, but they had to make that decision. It's a gathering place for hundreds of people and they had to shut it down.
Well, these they didn't have a choice because the whatever changes every day that's coming out of the government and whatnot. And it went from no gathering of 100 or more to no gathering of 50 or more. Now no gathering of 10 or more. You can't be in business.
Right. So
you can't be in business. Like, I mean, I finally bit the bullet and I closed our theater and for the weekend, because we had no tickets pre-sold. And frankly, I don't want to deal with the hassle of undoing, like, let's say if two people bought tickets, I just didn't want to deal with it. But I don't know what that means beyond this weekend. Am I closed? Are we closed indefinitely? I don't know. And then what does that mean financially?
Mm-hmm.
Now I just heard on the news that a lot of retail stores, so brick and mortar stores, are going to be closing. Which is going to have a trickle-down effect with landlords. And I'm going to have the same issue with the landlord for our theater. And I've already kind of heads up them, which of course they didn't really respond, which they never do because...
They probably don't know what to respond.
They never know how to respond over there, first of all. It doesn't even matter about coronavirus. They don't know how to respond when I say it's raining out and there's a leak. Okay, let's just...
That's a whole nother episode. Okay. But really, it is the trickle-down phrase that you just said, Gina, is exactly what I was... Like, my post this morning on Facebook was, so what happens if everybody shuts down for 4 weeks? So 4 weeks to a lot of people that are paycheck to paycheck is two full paychecks.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, a lot of businesses, a lot of so many things are two paychecks is going to really screw people up. And then they're not going to be able to pay. I've seen, even on my Facebook post where I was talking about this issue, there were people going, just don't pay your bills. So you've got a camp of people saying, don't pay your bills. Don't worry about it. It's just money. Well, there's a trickle-down effect of people not paying their bills. Then all these people not paying their bills collapses this and that business. People not going to pay their mortgage. They're not going to pay their rent. It's going to affect our society in some level, large or small. And we don't even actually know how long it'll take. Like around here in Myrtle Beach, we sometimes have hurricanes and there's devastation. The hurricane comes through. It's done. And we know, okay, let's start rebuilding. We kind of don't, on this day, March 17th, 2020, we don't actually know when the end is. You know, President Trump, I think, mentioned possibly into August. And the repercussions might go further than that.
Yeah, a hurricane, we've experienced that. I mean, there have been some funny memes out there about now the rest of the world knows what it's like to prepare for a hurricane, right? You go to this, I mean, it is bad. Like, we've had far worse, like, hurricanes where you could still go buy toilet paper. I mean, I couldn't buy chicken yesterday.
I still don't understand the toilet paper thing.
I don't know. How did that get started? Who started this toilet paper rush?
I'm not sure. I would love to find out who started it because it's obvious. It's a, panic thing. I can't even think of the phrase right now. It's a panic thing that somebody finds out that there's no toilet paper and then everybody runs out and gets toilet paper because they think there's not ever going to be any, like, mass hysteria. That's the word. Yeah. I'm sorry. God, my brain's not working. Mass hysteria. And so I've been watching this and the phrase mass hysteria was bouncing around in my head over the weekend. So I was researching some mass hysteria moments in history, such as, you know, Salem witch trials. And that was not anywhere close to the broad scale that this is, but it was kind of like some young girls said that they were afflicted with something due to these women. And their supposed witchcraft. And it created this mass hysteria in Salem and they burned all these women and killed all these women. And it's like a group mentality, a gang mentality that happens with people in this mass hysteria and it pulls everybody in. Cause a lot of people don't even know, they don't really know why they should be grabbing toilet paper, but everybody else is.
I don't know. So I'm looking up some numbers here. CDC estimates that from October 1st, 2019 through March 7, 2020, there have been, this is for the regular flu, 36 million to 51 million cases of flu illnesses reported, 17 million to 24 million medical visits, 370,000 to 670,000 hospitalizations, 22,000 to 55,000 deaths. Okay. 22 to 55. What's the median there? About 40. Let's call it 40. 40,000 deaths for 2019 to 2020. 40,000 deaths for the flu. Okay. The number right now for coronavirus is 6,500.
Is it for deaths or cases? I don't think that's deaths. I think that's cases.
No, that's okay. This is, you know what? We might not be able to trust the interwebs. This came up.
Trust the interwebs.
This came up on an interweb story. It looked like Italy was at 2,500 deaths. Now I heard somewhere in the news today, 13,000 was the number that we were currently at. This is from Pharmaceutical Technology. Is the publication. That was 2 days ago.
Well, and this is the big problem with the whole thing is which information is actually true? Like what is actually accurate? We don't know what information is correct. We don't know, like I would love to know what is the truth. And
so wait, let me,
there's too much information out there.
Yeah, that's the problem. And there's like all this confusion and the spin. And I blame the media and social media because back in the day, when we didn't have all this crazy social media stuff, things weren't so hysteria focused. So this article, which is in whatever I just said, pharmaceutical. Okay, well, when I push out, I'll look at the name of the thing. So the death toll from COVID-19 coronavirus infection has reached 6,500 worldwide.
Okay, worldwide.
With a total of more than 169,000 cases and 77,000 recoveries as of the end of March 15th. This is 2 days ago. In mainland China, 16 new cases and 14 deaths have been reported on March 15th, taking the total to 80,000 and 3,200 respectively. So 80,000 what? Taking the total to 80,000. 80,000 deaths or 80,000?
Who fucking knows?
Right. It's all.
And you know, what's interesting is like speaking to, it depends who you're talking to. Some people are like my stance on it, and I could be totally wrong. And a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, I could be like, God, I was so wrong. And maybe I am. But the way I see it, I'm like, it's mass hysteria for some reason, which I wish that I knew what the reason was. It seems to be an interesting timing due to being an election year. It seems to be interesting timing with the stock market and all these things being where they are. I'm not afraid of it. Like I'm a healthy person. And I know that the more at risk older people, they're the ones that we're to be worried about because they may not be able to fight it off. I actually have Crohn's disease and I take immunosuppressants. So I actually probably am more susceptible to others, but I'm not worried about it. Like I've had pneumonia. I have been to the brink where I thought I was going to die. And the only thing I can find with my extensive interwebs research is that you get a fever and you get a cough and you get a headache. So I'm sorry, but that's not going to fucking kill this gal.
Well, and it does go back to, you know, and I don't have all the stats in front of me who, and I'm not trying to downplay this, please, people. The majority of people dying are older. Somebody showed me a document on it, broke it down by ages. So again, going back to the flu, what did I say the flu number was of deaths? I mean, it was somewhere around
more than this.
It was like 40,000.
Right. And
40,000.
I definitely agree with what people are saying, that the thing we're trying to quarantine off by social distancing is to not give it to somebody that is at risk. And I respect that.
But.
And.
You had a butt on your lips.
And I just fear what the actual socioeconomic repercussions will be when we shut everything down for 4 weeks. And like, how are people going to be affected if they aren't taking the steps that we're going to talk about soon to keep their business moving forward?
Yeah. And I'd also like to hear your stance on how do you feel about just being overt about how you feel? Like, obviously that's why we're doing this episode there. It's almost like it goes hand in hand with politics, right?
Oh yeah.
It's like,
for sure.
Sharing your opinion. It hasn't gotten out of control yet, but there are definitely people who are like, I think it was on your post.
There's a lot going on that post. I haven't checked it in a while.
There was someone who posted like, we're all going to be fine. We're going to bounce back. And it's like, okay, that's great sunshine, flowers, and unicorns and rainbows.
That's right.
I get people, it. We're going to bounce back, but
it's going to fucking hurt.
But we might not. I mean,
some people might not.
Bounce back.
I was in another, what prompted me to create that post was I got involved in a discussion last night on someone else's page where the girl who posted was shitting with this guy who actually had really good things to say. He was like talking sort of what we're talking about the socioeconomic repercussions of this whole scenario. And she and a few other people were like, you just don't understand the severity of this whole thing. You're downplaying it and you're worried about money over people's health and lives. And I was like, honey, I don't know if you understand the severity of it either. Like, none of us understand the severity of it. And if you know anything about economics, which I actually don't, so there's that disclaimer, but I'm just thinking about these people that I know these people that they need their paycheck. But now they're not going to have it. I mean, I need my paycheck. I need my freaking paycheck.
Well, I mean, we could dive even deeper into that. There are people that need a paycheck to buy medication for other diseases that they have.
Yeah. There are people that need a paycheck to buy food for their children.
Right. So I guess don't diminish either way, right? Like, respect the fact that, no, we don't want people dying, but also respect the fact that this could have such an economic impact that creates even more problems and more health problems, frankly.
I was thinking this afternoon when I was taking a shower, because now our schedules are thrown off a little bit. I did my workout later in the day today because I just was on the phone all morning with all my clients and customers. And I was like, what if there's someone out there who doesn't have social media, who doesn't watch the news, and then one day they get a cold and they're sick a little bit for a while, and then they get better, and then that's that, and then life goes on. There's some damn hippie out there that's that's probably happily digging in a garden and maybe smoking a joint and doesn't know anything about any of this shit. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, people getting angry at each other for their opinions. Like you just said, Gina, like, yes, I am afraid to really put it out there that I think a bunch of this is bullshit. I think you fucking toilet paper hoarders are dumbasses. Like, I do. It's stupid. Like, why? You know, go travel to another country where, like, my parents just got back from Egypt. And for a dollar, you could go in the bathroom. For another dollar, they'd give you one square of toilet paper.
Yeah, how spoiled are we that we're hoarding toilet paper because we eat too much? I mean, let's talk about it. I mean... You can laugh. I don't hold it. Seriously.
Oh, it's crazy. So now that we've been talking about this for a little bit, let's shift gears and talk about, like, what can we do? Because I do generally, and you as well, Gina, we are generally not like doomsday people. We're more positive people.
Yeah.
And I do believe that I can't get on board with anybody who's like, this is a positive thing. I mean, I guess it is in a way, but
spend time cooking and singing Kumbaya.
I think you can make, you can choose to make it a positive thing, but, oh, this is actually a positive thing is like a bullshit phrase. But, I think you can make it. I think you can take advantage of being with your family. I think you can take advantage. Like, I'm like, well, if I can't go to the gym, I'm just going to double down on my home workouts. And, you know, that's my personal goal.
Let me ask you about the gym, though. Like, I went today and people thought I was crazy.
I heard they were going to shut them down, but good for you.
I mean, I went to Planet Fitness. They were open. I got front row parking. I mean, there was no one to compete with. Well, there were no germs to be had because no one was fucking there.
Well, and this is the thing. Felix and I are supposed to fly out to Puerto Rico on Friday. And this is a big controversy with anybody because there's some people that are like, you can't do it. Oh my God, don't do it. You're going to die. And I'm like, actually, you can fly to Puerto Rico. There's no travel ban and they're testing everybody at the airport as you go in. So there's a free test for me to find out if I'm carrying it. And then,
There's a way to get tested, travel.
That's right. And I'm sure that their economy wants, people to bring in money and, you know, I can work from home anyway. So to be continued, if we actually go, cause I'm, you know, Felix has actually been real quiet about it. And I'm like, I just want to go. I'm really upset. I don't want this, you know. So we'll see if we go or if by between now and Friday, if they do put a travel restriction on all of us.
Well, this is starting to happen with some people. You could get there, but not maybe come back.
Well, and I'm okay with that because guess what? I already worked that out too. My child will be with her dad. His child will be with his mom. My dog is going to be at a very, very nice
puppy spa.
A very nice puppy spa at a farm where she got her training. She'd be fine.
First world problems.
I would be fine. I would be totally fine to be stuck in Puerto Rico.
Well, there you have it. Anyway, I worked out in an empty health club. I have not heard anything about them closing it yet. But it was pretty... I mean, I wiped everything down when I got there. I wiped everything down when I left. I didn't touch anybody.
Well, that's the thing. As long as you're cleaning your hands, wash your hands.
Yeah.
So here we are. So you went to the gym. Let's go back to the gym. You were working out in a gym with nobody there. And really the bottom line, the thing that everybody's saying is that you just need to wash your hands. It's not that hard. And people are like, there's a run on hand sanitizer, but actually washing your hands is a better idea. Because even if you use hand sanitizer, if it's a viral content, and I saw somebody else had a Facebook post about it, it might actually just stick to your hands rather than wash it away.
Well, yeah, there's always been the thought, I don't know if it's fact, I didn't fact check this. There's always been the thought that, so I want to put that out there. I didn't check my facts, people.
We're not experts on anything.
We are experts on rambling, our peace of mind, our opinion. You're way better off washing than using hand sanitizer because everything I've heard is like hand sanitizer like is not the cure-all.
No. Well, and the other thing, I went to the store yesterday to pick up a couple things and I was hoping for some antibacterial soap. That was all sold out. But I waltzed my little self over to the dishwashing detergent section and there's antibacterial Palmolive. Plenty of it. It's the same thing in the little squirty bottles.
Hello.
And I'm good.
Hello.
And also regular soap, I'm pretty sure will wash it away as well.
I'm pretty sure regular soap does that. Yeah. Here's another idea. Rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
Isn't that what's
vodka? I think vodka would probably do it too. When in doubt, hit the liquor store and get some rot gut. Get the jug size of rot gut like vodka.
Yeah, you can't find hands. We have solved the world's problems just with this. Et voila, vodka.
Frankly, any type of alcohol would probably do it. Probably not the Bailey's Irish cream.
No, but that goes great in coffee in the morning and it makes you feel better about life. So start that your
is,
day.
I think that is one side note. Bailey's Irish cream, I miss that. And I don't drink at all years and years and years, but Bailey's cream in your coffee is good.
I mean, so that would be my first piece of advice is start the day with a little Bailey's in your coffee. If you drink.
Might calm you down.
Might soothe you, make you feel good. Well, and rub vodka on your hands if you can't find hand sanitizer.
Totally.
And I bought extra paper towels when I couldn't find toilet paper. I mean, there's that.
Well, and then all the extra time, and I think I said this in our quickie tips this week. So it takes me about 45 minutes to drive to the office sometimes. And to drive home. So I have gained all that time back. So that's close to 2 hours that I could be adding productivity to my day, which I'm always wanting because I hate driving and I hate losing productivity time while I drive. So you can add meditation. Like meditation is probably your best line of defense right now with all of this stuff going on.
But what if I can't meditate?
You know, I actually am listening to a new audiobook called Atomic Habits. And he addresses meditation and he says, you're not supposed to be fucking good at meditating. Like the only guys that are pretty good at meditating are these monks. And he tells this story about the Buddhist monks. And there's a scene where this guy, I think it was during some war and I don't know, I have to fact check that too. But basically this monk shows up and lights him. He like sits down and meditates for a while and some guys sit around him and they meditate for a while. He dumps a kerosene all over his body and lights himself on fire in protest. It's a historical thing. So deep in meditation that he just sat there and burned. Wow. So it was just the preface, powerful preface to talking about how meditation, it's not meant to be easy. The reason for you to practice meditation is to try to calm your mind just for a few minutes. Because that is the pushback that you get from people that don't meditate. Yeah. They're like, I'm not good at it. My mind won't stop racing. It's like, that's the fucking point. You may never get good at it. You just might practice it more often.
And that's why I threw that little whiny voice out there because people do struggle with it. I definitely struggle with it, but I also set I will set my clock for 10 minutes. Like I'm just going to meditate for 10 minutes. And if that 10 minutes is the same like mantra over and over again, if you repeat the same thing over and over again, you can't possibly like have other things come into your brain because you're just staying focused. Actually, another my business coach had told me like when I have anxiety to count backwards from 10 because of what it does to your brain. It shifts where your brain is focused. I forget, you know, from one zone to the other, from emotional to rational or something. I don't know. So, again,
prefrontal cortex,
something like that. I did not fact check that either, but I do know that it works, that if I'm focused on counting backwards from 10, I can't think about other things.
Yeah, meditation is just to attempt to control your mind for just a short period of time. I mean, all of us have that same problem where there's so much being thrown at us with media, social media, marketing, family insecurities, past baggage, like everything that our incredible brains are capable of. And meditation is just part of trying to calm that. And I think, you know, maybe this whole thing is a divine intervention to help us all meditate more. Cause now we have the time and you can.
It's a positive thing.
And also, you know, spending time on, we just interviewed someone who that episode will come up soon. And Leah Woodford, she said, this is a great time to look for the holes in your business. Like look for the weaknesses in your business and start working on these. Like if you cannot do the normal business activities and suddenly your customers, clients are all a little bit in hiding and they're hesitant. And they're like, let's just wait and see what happens with all this. Cause that's what's happening a lot in the mortgage and the real estate environment.
I've had so much business cancel.
Yeah.
Like I literally am like, okay, I'm on a non-paid vacation right now. I mean, that's just theaters closed. all of my training contracts canceled or have basically said, you know, we want to look at this later. Well, that's great. I'm going to tell my bill collectors the same thing. Let's just look at this later.
Well, that's what's going to happen to a lot of people. And I think that's probably what we're all going to have to do.
Which going back to what you said earlier about, you know, being concerned about those people, you know, who's being hit right now. So people criticize our kind of stance on this and we're entertainers. So we're far more empathetic to it. The people getting hit first right now are people in leisure and entertainment, because that's obviously the first thing that's stopping. You can't fly anywhere. You can't cruise anywhere. You can't go to restaurants. You can't gather 10 or more. So anyone in the retail or leisure or hospitality space, I mean, I was looking at it because we work with a lot of hotels for training, and I was looking at occupancy numbers and how they have just plummeted. Mm-hmm. All those employees being let go. Who are not going to spend money at the grocery store because they have no money to spend. And those who don't come from those sectors, they don't feel it yet. They don't get it yet. But I mean, I saw someone make a comment on Facebook. Somebody else similar, like you kind of threw that grenade out. Another friend of mine, shout out to MG Gaskin, because he sometimes listens. He had posted something similar about, because he had reached out to me about comedians too. Like a lot of comedians are out of work, entertainers. And someone was like, yeah, they won't let me use my PTO time. And he's like, okay, so my point was there are people who are actually not getting a paycheck.
Period.
So sorry, your PTO's fucked up.
Yeah.
Your personal time off. There are people who are actually not getting a paycheck.
For a while. For an undetermined period of time.
Right.
And you know, I also saw something that kind of pissed me off a little bit, because somebody commented, well, obviously these people that are paycheck to paycheck weren't saving their money, and they should have been saving their money. Well,
are you fucking kidding me? They're living paycheck to paycheck for a reason.
I'm not
kidding.
There's
nothing left over to save.
You know, I have been there. And I know there's probably people listening. And it ebbs and flows. Be careful out there judging others, because sometimes you think you're living on the fucking high horse, and then suddenly you're not. And I know how it feels to be paycheck to paycheck, and I know how it feels to suddenly have your income taken away. And you have to be really resourceful when that happens. But this is different, because you can't just go find another job. Nobody's hiring right now. In fact, everybody's laying people off. So
one of my running jokes is, I'm like, I could go be a Lyft driver. No, because no one's going to get in the car.
Right.
No one's Lyfting or Ubering anywhere. So forget that.
And I'm like, afraid.
My next thought was online porn.
Maybe we should just, that, I mean, women your mother warned you about just might rebrand itself.
I mean,
I'm in. Let's do it.
I mean, everyone's stuck at home. They're stuck at home. Everything's going virtual.
You know, the online porn stars are probably like, fuck yeah, this is awesome.
I mean, yeah, they're killing it. You know what? That's who's
making
money.
I might research this later today.
That's who's making money. Anyone doing that online porn stuff, they're making money because like...
Oh, God, that's great. Well, and here's what. So here's other things that... you could be doing.
We're going to get shut down. I'm going to be investigated by the FBI now. Go on.
Fine. It'd be controversial. Doug wanted controversy. You could also be trying to come up with ways, like this could be actually a catalyst for, if someone had an online business idea that they might want to put forward. Like Gina has a great improv video course that I know she has because I helped her put it together. And, you know, now might be an opportunity to take some of those ideas that you out there, our listeners, might have and transfer it into an online business, because people are going to be looking for stuff to do if we're quarantined or social distancing for a while. So it could be a catalyst.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I got a... random, you know, I get a notification whenever someone spends money online, whether it's at our, you know, buys tickets at our theater or class or whatever. I get this random, like, notification of like $10. $10 came through and I was like, $10? What the hell did someone buy for $10? We had like our theater, our tickets aren't $10. So I had to like go look. Someone bought my book of play book, what ebook of like improv games.
Sweet.
I was,
where can they find that, Gina?
That's a really good question.
You don't know. Oh, God. Okay. So going back to where are the holes in your business and what can you do to improve upon systems?
It's somewhere on pivot10results.com. I know it's there. It's a really good question.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. All right. So put that on your list.
So someone found that and made me really curious. And I emailed them like, hey, thanks for buying this. You know, let me know if you have any questions on it. But it really got me thinking, somebody, I don't know who it was because I looked at them. I don't know them. They don't follow me. I researched them because I was really curious. Somebody went and downloaded that because they wanted to use it in some way right now.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow they searched that out and found it.
Hmm.
I mean, I can't even find it on our website. Jesus, I need help.
You do, clearly. Another thing that I was talking about with my regional manager today and also had listened to Jeb Blunt's, one of his latest podcasts, talking about prospecting during this time. So people are stuck at home because of all this fear. And I think one great excuse that salespeople might come up with is, oh, I don't want to bother anybody at this time, like when nobody has any money. And that is legit. However, people are sitting at home or working from home and they want to talk. They want to talk about this. They want to talk about their fears. They want to talk about their worries. They want to talk to somebody because right now we're so socially distant that people do want to talk. So don't be afraid to call people, and you don't have to, and this is Jeb Blunt's advice, don't necessarily have to be calling them for a hard sale or a hard sell of whatever it is that your service or product is. Just call them up and see, are they doing okay? Like, how are you handling this? Because I think that the mental and emotional stress and strain, that is going to be the hardest part. And that includes like the people freaking about how they're going to pay their bills. Like, that's a mental and emotional strain.
Yeah.
And I think the best way we can help one another is to be kind to one another, to be caring for one another. And that includes communicating with one another, because humans are social animals and social distancing is not going to be a healthy long-term plan.
No, it's not. And all kidding aside, I mean, I made the reference about porn, but that's why there is
fuck somebody live, please, not just
that,
online.
That's why there is there are actually been studies done on skin starvation, and why porn is so high in usage, because we've become so digitized as a society, and we're not physically touching anymore. And I don't even mean that sexually. I'm just saying that we have so much social distancing as it is,
mm-hmm.
that we're missing human touch, which is what we do need.
Yeah. Well, we also need socialization. Again, humans are social animals, because going back to, I always go back to caveman times because you go back to like early human life. If you were kicked out of the tribe, you were royally fucked. Like, you needed the tribe to protect you.
Yeah.
And you needed to be a part of something. And I think there's a little bit of danger of social distancing in separating ourselves from one another, and also kind of that capitalist mentality of like, well, I'm going to protect my toilet paper and I don't really care what happens to you. Like, I think that there's a lot going on that's positive in our area for reaching out for the people that need help. But there's plenty of people that are locking their doors and holding onto their toilet paper. And that worries me.
You know, I had a moment. It worries me too. Like, what's wrong with this world? Again, would somebody please tell me the root of this toilet paper issue? I want to know.
I think I talked to one person who was hoarding it, and I asked her, and she said the reason is if we are told not to leave our homes, then I don't want my family to run out of toilet paper. And that's it. And I'm like, Okay.
Okay. So in Europe, you know, they have these things called bidets. Stick your butt in the shower and rinse off.
Yeah. It's a good reason to take another shower.
I mean, I hate to be that graphic, but I'm just saying. Anyway, I digress. Something happened to me yesterday when I went to the grocery store and I heard the sky was falling. I actually went into the grocery store to buy dog food and dog food only. $200 later, even the cashier was like, "So you didn't plan on this, did you?" Because I had one of the little carts, right? That was like heaping over. I'll send you a picture. And I'm like, "No, I did not plan for this." But I ran into somebody at the grocery store who's like, "The rumor is," which I know better, but anyway, "the rumor is that Trump's going to be calling a mandatory quarantine. It's going to be announced anywhere from 24 to 72 hours from now." So she was like, "I'm shopping now before that announcement happens. Because if we think there are problems now with no toilet paper, and that announcement happens." And the irony is that store was not just out of chicken and water and paper towels, but they were out of chicken. I couldn't buy chicken for cooking. It's like,
I heard there's plenty of pig's feet left if you go over to that section.
All right. Well, when just desperate. Saying. So anyway, well,
yeah.
So I got rotisserie chicken instead, just to have. And I pay my enormous bill and I go to the parking lot and there's this elderly lady kind of pacing nervously, like between her car and my car. And I put my groceries in the car and she's still like, she looks like she's upset and the car's running and she's standing outside of it. And she keeps like opening and closing the door. And I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "No, where's my husband?" Yeah. She's like, I can't find him. He left me. Like, where is he?" And the car's running and there's a dog in the car. And I was like, I knew instantly it was dementia. So one thing that we've been able to use improv in helping actually caregivers of people with dementia. Wow. So you have to actually yes and their reality, right? And not take away from their reality. And she, you know, so I just went into like a yes and improv mode with her. "Well, where is he?" I'm like, "Well, he's in the store. He's shopping." "Well, why do you leave me here?" I'm like, "He probably thought you were going to be okay." I'm like, "Do you want me to go get him? I'll go get him for you." I'm like, "Why don't we both go get..." Like, she literally grabbed my hand and held my hand so tight. I'm like, "You want to come with me?" And she's like, no, "I'm going to stay here in case he comes back here." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'll go look for him." I'm like, "What does he look like?" And she's like, "He looks like a jerk." I'm like, "Well, that'll be like all the men there." Okay. So, what's his name? She gives me a name, Ralph. So I go inside and I go to customer service and I tell them what's going on and can they please announce for Ralph? So Ralph comes to the front and he's got a small cart as well. And he's got like six items in the cart. He's like, "Someone said called Ralph." And I said, "Yes, is your wife Lori?" And he said, yeah. What's up? I'm like, "She's really disoriented and freaked out in the parking lot because she doesn't know where you are." And he's like, "She's got dementia." And I said, "I figured as much." I'm like, "But she's really freaking out." So, so he leaves his cart there and everyone's like listening in now. And I'm like, "No, he's going to be right back. Don't take his cart away. He's going to be right back." So we went out into the parking lot and she's like, Where were you? And it was so heartbreaking. It was so heartbreaking. Like amidst all of this that's going on in the world. And this man is like just trying to buy a couple things with his wife's got dementia and you don't know what phase they're in, right? Like He's like, I wasn't in there that long. I was only in there in a few minutes. And I get a sense of, you know, maybe this is a newer thing because she was not completely incoherent. We had a great conversation. She started asking me about my love life. And that was a really interesting conversation. He, you know, we got her calmed down and he was like, he was so distraught. And I said, why don't you go back in and finish your shopping and I will stay with her. And he was like, really? I'm like, I got this. I mean, hey, we are all in this right now. I'm like, where do I have to go? Everything has canceled.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll just hang out with your wife until you're done. Like, don't worry about it. And so then that gave me and her opportunity, like, have random conversation about.
Ooh, I just got chills all over my body with this thought. What if social distancing is actually a catalyst for us to create deeper social connection?
Amen.
What if? And this, you know, with your family, with random strangers and acts of kindness, because you're not in a rush. Like, imagine if you were in a rush to go somewhere, you'd just be like, gosh, I hope she's okay. And off you'd go.
Yeah. And not necessarily sit in the parking lot with her while he finishes shopping. Mm-hmm. But I felt like that's what I was called to do in the moment, was to just show kindness and be there for someone. And here's the other piece of it. You know, by the time he came back out and they were getting ready to go, and I was like getting her in the car, I'm like, come on, hop in, get in there. And she's like laughing at me. And she kept hugging and kissing my face.
Oh God. And, but you know what? How are you feeling today? You're okay, right?
I feel amazing. Yeah. I feel amazing more because I was where I needed to be in that moment, and that's what she needed. And I'm not going to live my life in fucking fear over this.
Yeah,
I'm not. For sure. I'm not going to live in fear and take that away from someone in that moment who needed me. And oh my God, she touched my face.
Mm-hmm.
And she was over 70.
Mm. Yeah, it's I saw a hilarious video on Facebook about the grocery store, you know, funny, a lot of stuff's happening in the grocery store. And she was talking about this woman who freaked the fuck out because the cashier touched his face, that he needed to do hand sanitizer and this is dangerous. So he did hand sanitizer and he was like, is it okay now? And she's like, yes, that's much better. And she proceeded to go and like stick her card in the card reader and put her digits in, which is probably the most foul, disgusting thing to put your hands on on the planet, and waltzed her way out the door. It was a hilarious video, the way that the woman was talking. But, you know, those kind of things, just, it's crazy. And furthermore, like, so we're so worried about what we need to have in stock at our house to survive. But you really don't need that much to survive. What you really need is what you just experienced with that woman, Gina, is love, caring, empathy, and taking care of one another, because that is what matters. Like, we are in a gluttonous society full of way too much of everything. And the
so fact much that, so that so much so that we need a lot of toilet paper.
That's right.
That's how gluttonous crazy we are.
It's crazy. And we don't really need that much. Like, I'm like, I could probably survive. I'm married to a hunter. We got enough freaking whatever that he's killed in the freezer to last.
Come
into
your house for dinner.
Totally. And like, there's plenty of stuff for us to survive on through this. But is there enough love? Is there enough empathy? Is there enough compassion? Is there enough kindness?
I think we hit a theme here.
Yeah, I didn't think we had that kind of depth, but we do. Hopefully people will get through our bitching at the beginning of the episode to get to this good stuff.
But to get it's to really the good true. Juice.
Yeah. You know, and like my child, this is another good point. So check yourself. Like, your children, if you have any children or pets, they pick up on your stress level. And if you are freaking the fuck out, you know, and chugging a bottle of wine to try to cope, and you're freaking out and standing there ranting and pacing in front of the TV, your kids see this. And Mike and Dan, they did this podcast earlier today that I watched, and Mike said, I don't want my son to remember this time period as a time where I was freaking the fuck out. I want him to remember this as a time where he actually got to spend more time with me.
Yeah. It's how we're reacting to it. And I think that's where I'm really irritated is it's a mass hysteria and we're choosing sides over it. I'm not trying to choose a side over the capitalism part of it. What I'm saying is, can there be a balance? If we're going to have this, you know, this is a serious health issue and risk for the world. And here's what needs to happen with that. There's got to be a counterpart to, and how are we going to protect the rest of the world from a financial collapse? And we're more than likely going into a recession. So why can't we have both of those taken care of at the same time? And maybe that's happening and we don't know it, but it's not being communicated or conveyed that that's happening. I mean, they're trying to make things happen, but we're dealing with the government and the red tape of that. It's real easy. It's real easy to tell everyone to stay the fuck home. But it's not that easy to like pass a bill to provide aid to businesses and employees and workers and whatnot. I'm like thankful that I'm on payroll for my company, which is the first time I have ever been on payroll in 11 years. Because if there is an income tax credit, yay me. I wouldn't have gotten that as strictly as a 1099 business owner.
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night. What if they just said, hey, guess what, y'all? Because of all this terrible stuff going on, nobody's got to pay taxes this year.
They're going to, well, yeah.
That would be cool, but I bet you that ain't going to happen.
The COVID tax credit.
I mean,
we should run for political office, you and I.
Nope.
Could you see it? We would get hired. We would be elected.
Nope.
We would be elected.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't because I wouldn't do it. I don't want to do it. Please don't make me do it. I'll be happy to stand there beside you and look pretty in some white gloves, but I'm not doing it.
You want to be my first lady?
Yep, I can do that. I'm good at being second. I am not good at that shit in the front there.
Well, hey, let's talk about, I know that this is actually coming out in a blog on our website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, but we came up with some things for working from home. So kind of want to throw out some of those just quick tips that you will be able to find on our website in a blog. But it's like, if you're stuck working at home and you're not typically someone who works from home and now all of a sudden you're telecommuting, you know, many of us as entrepreneurs, we're so used to this that it's like a second nature of like the habits that we've created at home. And Rachel has also talked about it in a video that, just the Tip Tuesday video that posted on Tuesday, March 17th, which is also the day we're recording this, but you could go back and look for that video. But a couple things, have a routine. Keep your routine going of what your day is going to look like. So if you're working from home, you can still have a routine of like getting up at the same time you normally did, get dressed for work. I mean, I have to get dressed for work at home to feel productive. So do all those things, make and pack a lunch, go to the gym. And that might mean the gym that you're going to make up in your house. Or go for a walk and actually get outside, because that's the best thing for you to do from a health perspective is to get outside. Get the kids ready for school. Now, I'm not a mom. Rachel can chime in on this, but this was my suggestion. If the kids are at home, recreate a routine for them as well as best as possible. You know, set them up with whatever learning activities or homework they could be doing or chores to keep them productive. I saw someone post something about, you know, giving your kids lessons at home, like how to solve problem lessons. Like there are, you know, different things that you can do to do that.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know what? All the moms out there that bitch about the fact that they aren't teaching you how to balance your checkbook in school. How about teach your kid how to balance your checkbook? And actually Roxy, day before yesterday, before the very first day of that they were out of school, she was the one that said, can we kind of stick to like the way that we do it? Like I would do this class in the morning, and then I'd have a break and we'd have a recess and then this and then lunch and then this. And did we stick to that? No, but at least we did have a time period in the day where we sat down
And I did flashcards with her. And then we learned about World War II because that's what they're studying in school right now. And actually, it became really fun. Like, you can make it fun for yourself to, like, I learned some things about World War II that I didn't know personally.
That's cool.
So you can actually educate yourself while you educate your kids and just try to make it a little bit more fun. It doesn't have to be traumatic. It just, you know, it doesn't have to be yelling and screaming. It could be like, let's learn about, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, I'm going to get Roxy an online animation course I've been looking at and let her do it. Like, that's what she is into.
Yeah. She's been interested in that.
Yeah. Like, you can find stuff and you can learn how to do anything on YouTube, like anything. And also, let me just pull up. So Scholastic, hold on, let me pull up the flyer that US Mortgage put out. Scholastic.com/learn-at-home is offering courses for kids.
What is that?
Scholastic.com/learn-at-home.
Learn at home.
They've got fun learning challenges, educational videos, exciting stories, virtual field trips, and a virtual library. There's really like it. This is actually the best time in history for something like this to happen because there's just so much information online on YouTube and Google, and there's just endless courses out there. I know that the schools are setting up in our county starting tomorrow that the kids can go online and do some e-learning. Like, there's stuff you can do.
Yeah. And you could enlist them as helpers.
Yep. Teach them what you would teach them. If you're working from home, help, have them learn what you're doing, or like, hey, can you do me a favor and do this? Like, train them to be better humans.
Can you make me some coffee?
Yeah. Shit. I've told Roxy for years, if she learns how to make coffee for me, I'd pay her. She hadn't got there yet.
So a couple other things, you're working from home, you know, for meetings, you can still, you know, you might physically be socially distancing, but you can still have interaction. Things like using Zoom, like how we record our podcast, the video conferencing. So zoom.us, you could do that. Designate a place. I know you talked about this, Rachel, a little bit. You know, designate a place that you're going to be your most productive in your house to work, and structure in a way that you're most comfortable too. Like, I like to have classical music playing when I work, and that I always have that on, or I have something in the background, but I can't really have TV on because it'll distract me. So find the things that are not going to distract you so that you can create a workspace. Take a break and go to lunch. You know, move your, you know, go into the kitchen and have lunch as if it were your work, you know, your work kitchen. Expect the unexpected. This is my favorite. Like the landscapers showing up during video conferencing, or the doorbell ringing, or the dogs barking, or the kids screaming during meetings. Just know that those things are going to happen. Celebrate the less stress you're going to have as a result of not having to drive.
Amen.
That.
Holla.
Holla. Tackle bigger projects or brainstorm some new ideas. This is a great time, like Rachel said, finding the holes in your business or the holes of your job. I have one client that I executive coach for. And one of my pieces of advice to him today was like, you know, you've been wanting to up your game at work. This is the time that you can like come up with something innovative in this downtime. So you should be doing that. And one thing I forgot to put in that blog, forget to include, was improvise.
Mm.
Improvise and pivot. Now, we've heard people repeatedly in the government say, either don't panic or stay calm. Well, you can't really tell people to stay calm because that's like telling a kid.
Yeah, have you ever tried that in a fight with a, yeah. Like, stay calm. Why don't you stay calm? Stay calm down.
Stay calm. No. How about improvise? So you don't have to stay calm, but you improvise and pivot and adapt and know that everything being thrown at you might be different, and you just have to like improvise through it. Just accept that it's coming at you. And do the best thing you can with it. And then if you're in sales, there's no reason why you can't still be reaching out to people and having conversations, because the reality is everybody is at home bored. This is a great time to just talk to people and not even be selling. Just talk to people.
You know what else is a really great use of your time if you need something important to do, productive? Mm. You could start writing that book you've been thinking about. So, Gina, you could just, if you get bored, I never get bored. I don't understand that what that word is, because I don't get bored. Because as soon as I have time, ah, damn it. Well, you and anybody else who's thinking about writing a book, it's a great time to do so.
Okay, so
and
all kidding aside, I have put it on my calendar for next week. I actually might go away for 2 days and just go write, because what else am I doing right now?
That's the best way to do it. That's the way I started my book. And it's a great way to do it. What gets scheduled gets done. And also, as I mentioned in my tips, during the plague, you know, the Black Plague that killed off a whole damn bunch of people. That's when Shakespeare wrote King Lear and Macbeth and possibly one other play. I can't remember. Someone posted that recently and it may or may not be true. We might want to fact check that, but it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Like, you can't go anywhere, quarantine, and you might write your masterpiece.
All right. Maybe that's it. My masterpiece will get written next week.
Your book will be a fucking masterpiece if you get it going, girl.
Okay, enough. Well, I think we've hit a lot. We bitched. We celebrated. We gave a couple ideas. We stood our ground. We were women your mother warned you about. I think our work is done here with this episode.
I think so.
I mean,
thanks for listening, and be safe out there, y'all. And wash your fucking hands, please. And thank you.
Wash your fucking hands. Seriously. And stop fucking hoarding the toilet paper. Can anybody spare a square? All right. That's it for this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About. Thank you for listening. Thank you to our warners. I'm Gina Tremarco.
And this is I'm Rachel Pitts. And thank you again to Dermavogue for sponsoring our podcast. And you guys... reach out to them if you want to feel and look even more beautiful than you already are. Dermavogue.com.
Uh-huh. And to learn everything about us, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com is the website. You'll find all of our socials there. And Keith Walters, who's not with us today. I'm starting to feel a little guilty, but Keith is busy too. So, hey, recommend the show. Share this episode in particular, because there's so much negativity out there right now. And maybe this episode will make somebody laugh about how to get through this right now. So that's another thing I forgot to mention, is educate yourself. So this is a great time to be educating yourself in other ways that you haven't had time to do. Listening to podcasts, one great way to do it. So that's all I got. Keeping it sexy. Keeping it sexy by being real, raw, relevant, and what else?
A little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners.
Bye, coronavirus.
'll get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof, monkey, monkey.